Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Peyto Exploration 2016 Reserve Report. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, so if anyone should require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone to reach an operator. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. As a reminder, today's conference may be recorded. I'd now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Darren Gee, President and Chief Executive Officer. Sir, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Liz, and good morning, everybody. Welcome to our 2017 Reserves Release Conference Call. We decided to change things up a bit this year, and rather than do our pre-recorded podcast that we used to do in the past with some of the management and discuss our reserves release that way, we decided we'd have a conference call this year and open up to questions from analysts and the investment community about our reserves. I appreciate it just came out last night, and there's a lot of data in there that needs to be absorbed, so feel free to chime in with questions when we open it up. In the room with me today, we've got J.P. Lachance. He's our VP of Exploitation. We've got Dave Thomas, our VP of Exploration. And we've got Enrico Espiritu, our Manager of Engineering and Business Development. Rico is also the caretaker of Peyto's annual reserves evaluation, and he's responsible for overseeing and coordinating the work that the independent reserve evaluators do. He's also responsible for the detailed interpretation of the reserve report that we do every year for shareholders, which is quite a bit more than just presenting the numbers. It's an ever larger job since Peyto's reserves grow every year. And so, Rico, I want to take this opportunity to thank you again for another job well done. Rico's been doing this now for about 10 years, so there's a lot of consistency, obviously, in the evaluation that happens every year with Peyto's reserves. As mentioned in the press release, 100% of Peyto's reserve assets were evaluated by Insight Petroleum Consultants. Insight's been doing Peyto's reserve work for our entire history. They were Paddock Lindstrom before they changed their name to Insight, and they've got a lot of experience. We get some very experienced engineers looking and geologists looking at our reserves every year. It's a very detailed report. And so we'd like to take this opportunity to thank them for all their hard work evaluating all of the company's reserve assets. We presented the 2016 reserves evaluation to our board of directors on Monday. They accepted and approved the report. And they also, of course, had several questions about the reserves that I'm sure our investors would like to hear about. So I'd like to maybe just start this call this morning with a few general comments and then turn to each of the VPs and managers here today and ask them again some of the same questions that were asked by our Peyto Board of Directors at Tuesday's meeting about this year's reserves. And then after that, we can throw the call open to the listeners who may also have questions about our reserves this year. So first off, from my perspective, 2016 was another very successful year for Peyto with respect to our reserve additions. We profitably added new producing reserves at an FD&A cost of $1.44, just $8.62 a BOE, which is even lower than the $1.50 in MCFE that we had targeted. That's down, I think, 12% from the $1.64 last year. And it's also the lowest PDP FD&A we've had since 2003, which is a long time ago, when costs in the industry were significantly different from where they are today. And it's good they're down because commodity prices were pretty low in 2016 too, especially gas prices. Our cash costs are estimated at about 76 cents per MCFE. We'll be releasing those with our annual financials here in a couple of weeks. So when you add that to the PDP FD&A, that gives us a total supply cost of just $2.20 in MCFE, which is the lowest in our company's history. I think those costs are going to be some of the lowest in North America too when we compare them across the board. So that's going to, again, make Peyto one of the most profitable natural gas producers in North America and one that competes with some of the best plays in North America, I think. We replaced drilling inventory that we harvested this year with basically two locations for every well that we drilled. That continues to expand our undeveloped reserve inventory. At year-end, we booked 947 locations. Those were all recognized in the reserve report. That's over 5 years of drilling at this current pace. So that's good. And I think we created a lot of value in both producing reserves value and undeveloped reserves value with the capital program in 2016. That is the whole point of the business, It's something that we check each and every year to make sure we're doing a good job creating value with our capital program. That justifies why we get to continue to invest our shareholders' capital going forward. That's real value, and it presents itself every year in the form of earnings on our financial statements. By our measure, we have around $22 per share of developed reserve value and $18 per share of undeveloped reserve value. So all in all, I think it was a very efficient year for us. So let me just quickly ask each one of the guys here today a question that was also asked by our board so that investors can also hear those same answers. So I'm going to start with you, Rico. One of the questions by the board on Tuesday's meeting was about the reserve bookings on a per well basis. What were the average reserve assignments to the new wells we drilled in 2016, and how does that compare to, say, the previous several years of horizontal drilling?
Sure, Darren. Good morning, everyone. Peyto's average reserve assignment per well in 2016 is down slightly at 3.1 BCFE on a P plus PEA basis versus the 3.3 BCF average in 2015. However, the 2016 average compares quite well with the 2012, 2013, and 2014 averages, where the average assignments were 3.2, 3.1, and 3.2 BCFE, respectively. It should be noted, however, that in 2016, Peyto drilled a disproportionate number of exploratory wells compared to other years, which resulted in more conservative reserve assignments, given the nature of the wells, the lack of production analogs, and limited performance history.
Right, that's the 46 wells over and above the 82 that were already booked that we talked about in the reserve release. Excellent. So very similar results to the previous years. That's good to hear. JP, we managed to beat our PDP FD&A target, which we had in our presentation of about $1.50 this year, with $1.44. I think it was mostly by spending less capital to develop the producing reserves. I've also advertised that we have a new very aggressive target of $1.25 per MCFE for PDP FD&A for 2017. So how are we going to achieve the reduction, and especially in light of maybe the potential service cost pressures that we're seeing?
Yes, thanks for that target, Darren. first off, it should be noted that if we were to include the probable additional reserves attached to our producing additions, our FD&A would equate to $1.26 in MCFE. So we're not off target there already. If we could just get our reserve evaluators to book it that way, we'd be all set. But simply put, we're going to attack both sides of the equation here to meet that target. In 2016, we drilled a higher proportion of exploratory wells than usual, as Rico mentioned. And not all worked out, and we did not get the assignments we were expecting, so that affected the total reserves we booked. However, we have always done an excellent job converting our undeveloped locations more efficiently than what's on our books, and this year was no exception. I'd refer you to the table in Section 2 of our release under Exploration and Development Activity. You can see there we actually converted the wells we had on the books last year for only 97 cents an MCFE. That's impressive. I should note that that's a half-cycle number, and it includes the PA wedge of those wells. But if we were to look at the PDP reserves portion only assigned to those wells, it equates to $1.10 an MCFE as well, which is a very low number. So we also spend about 20 cents of an MCFE for PDP basis on the land, the seismic, and the major facilities last year. So when you look at the full cycle of the lower-risk portion our program, it's already in the hundred of $1.30. Now, of course, there's always some risk on every location we drill, but we do plan to target a higher degree of development locations in our 2017 portfolio, particularly in the Sundance area. Now, as far as the cost pressure, the other side of that equation, while we expect some modest inflation, and we don't source our services from the spot market per se, we've built a long-standing relationships with our suppliers, and we kept them busy through lean times, so we're not seeing it. We've also made some structural changes to our well designs and improved efficiencies, and we don't expect to lose those. But we'll continue to challenge the team for future gains, for further gains. You know, arguably, the current strip doesn't support the current activity levels, you know, with over 350 rigs running in Western Canada. So any service cost inflationary pressure should ease should prices stay where they are. You know, in fact, if prices stay low and we're to compete with the U.S. Shale players for market share, our costs as an industry have to remain down. So we've set ourselves a very aggressive target, but we have the right ingredients at Peyto, and we're going to try and make it happen.
Okay. Good stuff. So we're going to drill a few more development wells than exploratory wells. Then that probably leads into the one of the last questions we got from our director, Dave. You know, obviously there's always a concern with future inventory and the generation of those future drilling locations. We're not like a lot of our peers in the industry who buy their inventory from other operators, but we have had a pretty good track record, I would say, of finding it ourselves by exploring for it. That's why we have Peyto Exploration in our name. We highlighted in the reserve release that we added almost two book locations for every well we drilled last year. So I guess the question is, you know, how's 2017 going in terms of adding new inventory? And do you think we will manage the 2-to-1 ratio in 2017, especially if we're going to be drilling more development wells, as JP talked about? And how can we keep doing that for many years to come? That's a kind of a loaded question, Dave. But.
Well, Darren, that sounded more like three questions to me than. But they all address the same concern, which is future drilling inventory. Peyto's been exploring in the Alberta Deep Basin now for 18 years, and we do have a very long track record. Our reserves report is absolutely full of the metrics we track, and many of the tables highlighted in the report show 10 or even more years of data. One of the metrics we've been tracking is how many new proven undeveloped or probable additional locations are booked for every new well we actually drill. In the report, we show the results from the last 10 years, and the average ratio is 2.0 new proven undeveloped or probable additional locations booked per well drilled. So the pace of new inventory generation has historically exceeded the pace of drilling activity at a ratio of 2-to-1. If all we did was infill drilling, that is converting or drilling up existing booked locations, the ratio would drop to zero. In 2015, that ratio did drop to 1.5, but we picked it up again in 2016, so the ratio was back up to 1.9. So how will 2017 measure up? Well, as Peyto is constantly adapting and tweaking our drilling lineup to maximize results or take advantage of special opportunities, it's difficult to exactly predict the number, that metric number. But another metric that can be useful to track is the new land acquisitions. In 2016, we added 40 net locations of land to our Greater Sundance Core area, plus 10 net locations at Brazeau. And in 2017, we're off to a very quick start with over 30 net sections of land added in land sales and 20 gross sections in the final stages of a property purchase. So we're well positioned to continue adding new locations to our inventory at our historical pace. Beyond 2017, I would point out, as you already have, Darren, that we do have this great track record of adding reserves through really a lot of great exploration. There's a production graph in the Peyto corporate presentation that highlights the one sliver of significant production growth in the last 16 years that we added through an acquisition, which was Open Range back in 2013. Almost all of the rest of the new production has been added through organic growth. We've been very good at it. That's not to say that we don't look at acquisitions. We do take a very serious look at the opportunities that we feel could be an extra good fit for us, but these opportunities have to compete against our portfolio of internally generated projects. We've also just tallied up our total inventory of booked plus unbooked drilling locations, and even in this past year of exceptionally challenging commodity prices, we've managed to slightly grow our inventory. Importantly, our Spirit River and Blue Sky inventory has increased to just under 1,300 locations, of which 700 are located in the greater Sundance area alone. And these include 570 booked locations. Those are the same zones powering most of our horizontal drilling production growth. And additionally, these locations will benefit from all of the existing infrastructure at Sundance and provide a large pool of lower risk, lower cost opportunities to fund our expansion in new areas such as Brazeau.
Okay, well, that's good. That sounds like lots of locations then. So we're going to be busy for many more years to come. One of the last questions that was asked at the board meeting was about these risk mitigation strategies that we've talked about in the press release. We didn't go into a lot of detail in the press release, but we have put several strategies in place to protect us from potential gas price volatility that we might see in 2017 and beyond. We saw a lot of it in 2016, definitely. We've got some risk mitigation strategies in place to deal with the TCPL takeaway interruptions that we experienced in 2016 and in 2015, which we now think are perhaps a little more permanent part of our industry. And lastly, we've got some strategies in place to deal with the service cost inflation, should we see a lot of it coming out of this big rig count that we're currently experiencing. So there's a bit of fear, obviously, in the industry that costs are going up and potentially efficiencies going down. So we outlined for the board that we have adapted our hedging policy to increase the amount that we're hedging. We're now hedging out three seasons of both winter and summer, so effectively three full years we're going out, not just two anymore. And we've got this sort of stair-step down profile of hedges that we're targeting to have effectively 85% of our gas sold by the time we enter the season, and then the subsequent seasons beyond that drop down by 10%. So 85%, for instance, sold for this spring when we hit it and summer season, and then 75% for the following winter, 65% for the following summer, and so on down. So we go out about six seasons. That's a little more aggressive hedging schedule than we've had in the past, but we feel we need that protection, especially with how volatile commodity prices have become. And arguably, I think, because Alberta really has a little less effective storage, Western Canada has a little less effective storage today than we used to have relative to our production level, we have less access, really, to the U.S. storage to buffer some of that seasonal variability in the gas price. So our feeling is we're going to need a little more protection, and so having that fixed price built into our future estimates is very important to us. Secondly, the TCPL issue. Last year, we experienced 86 days out of 365 days where TransCanada restricted access to firm service on the upstream James River system, where we produce all of our gas into. On those 86 days out of 365 days, the average restriction was about 17%, which meant that you needed to hold 17% additional firm service in order to be able to flow on those 86 days when they were cutbacks. Projecting forward, we're looking at the 2017 stop report from TransCanada, and it's suggesting that there are going to be as many as 185 days, I think, that we will see restrictions to firm service out of 365, so over half the year they're projecting to be cuts to firm service, and the average cut on those 185 days is again around 17% from the existing capacity. However, there is excess firm service above the capacity of the system out there now, so when they do cut, they're going to have to cut from the nominated firm all the way to their capability, which is probably going to be in excess of that 17%. So we're projecting for 2017 that you're going to need at times over 20% excess firm service in order to be able to still nominate your volume that you want to flow and get in the pipe. Basically, TCPL is like an airline oversold the plane in some ways, and in order to get on that plane, you're going to have to carry two tickets. So we have a strategy in place. We've got excess firm service. We are downstream enough in the upstream James River system so that we can find unutilized service upstream of us and transfer it down to us to be used. That's an effective way for us to mitigate some of this interruption that TransCanada has scheduled on their upstream James River system. And the last issue that we needed to, the last issue with respect to risk that we needed to put some strategies in place for mitigation was really the service cost inflation that we potentially could see if this 350 rig count persists throughout 2017. The rig count picked up quite dramatically at the end of 2016 on the backs of some pretty strong forward-looking commodity prices. We were looking at upwards of 350 AECO for 2017 at that time, and obviously some very strong oil prices and potential growth in that oil price, inflation in that oil price. And so companies were feeling very bullish about 2017 cash flows and the capital that they had to spend. That's changed quite a bit. I think there's been some softening in oil, some questions on inventory, and also on the gas side, we really haven't had the cold winter that was projected. We haven't seen as big a draws on storage, although they have been okay, but the gas price in Alberta, especially the forward strip for 2017, has fallen quite a bit. We're currently sitting looking at 2017 in that sort of 270 per gigajoule range, down from, you know, close to 350 back in November. So that's taken a lot of the wind out of the sails, I think, of a lot of producers. We haven't seen the response in the rig count yet. We expect we will see it, as JP alluded to. We really don't have the commodity prices to support those rigs. But in the event that we don't see a rig response, we're protected that in that we have some long-term contracts in place for some of the major services, especially the pumping services that we see the immediate pressure on. And so we think we've mitigated a lot of that risk in the near term and expect that the industry activity levels will align with the commodity prices as we get later on in the year. So we don't feel that we're exposed on the cost front, and so we're confident we can continue on at the level of activity we're at. So those were some of the strategies we have in place to deal with some of these risks that we see in the industry right now. Obviously, those were important for the board to understand as well. You know, that's all that we really want to talk about in terms of the reserve report. We wanted to make sure we left lots of time for the call to open it up for questions from those listening in. So, Liz, at this point, if we could open it up and have listeners offer questions to us, that would be great.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star, then the number one key on your touchtone telephone. That's star, then one to ask a question at this time. We have a question from the line of Scott Reed with CIBC. Your line is now open.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call today. Just
Hello,
a quick
Scott.
Question. Just wondering... Yeah, I'm just wondering if you could provide us guidance for DD&A in 2017.
Well, that's a bit of a tough call. so the way that DD&A is calculated, Scott, as you probably know, with IFRS in Canada, most E&P companies have chosen to deplete their asset base over their 2P reserves. PETO is no different. And so really the DD&A calculation is a blend of, I would call it, historical costs to add new reserves and future costs to add new reserves. So in the simple calculation is in the numerator, you've got all of the PP&E capital that's not been depreciated yet. In Peyto's case, I think that's somewhere close to $3 billion. And you've also got the future development capital associated with the undeveloped reserves in the 2P category. So in our case, that's $2.56 billion.
Right.
So we've got about $5-some billion in the numerator. In the denominator, we have the 655 million BOEs, which is in part the PDP reserves, the actual developed producing reserves, which is also associated with the undepreciated PP&E pool. And part of it is the undeveloped reserves, the PUs and PAs, which are the other component of the 2P reserves, and is also associated with the FDC that's in the numerator, right?
Right.
And so for Peyto, it's about a 50-50 blend. We've got sort of half historical costs on a dollar per BOE or dollar per MCFE basis, and half of that DD&A is the future costs. And as we add new reserves every year, actual capital is spent and real producing reserves are added at lower than the average historical, which our average historical probably for that $3 billion is close to two and a quarter maybe. So we're slowly diluting that down. For instance, this year adding at $1.44. And the future reserves are also starting to cost us less. As we recognize we're getting more for less capital in the future, So as we highlighted, I think all of our undeveloped reserves, we're going to develop at an estimated cost of about $1.25, I think was the number in the reserve release. If I can quickly flip to that. Yeah. Total capital to develop the undeveloped reserves is $2.5 billion, so 124 in MCFE. So as we are moving forward, we're slowly leaving behind some of these old and depreciating off some of these old historic costs to find reserves that were higher than sort of what we see today and what we're forecasting into the future. And so that's slowly averaging down our DD&A, as you suggest, and that number will slowly come down over time. But it's not going to be quite as dramatic for Peyto as it might be for, say, some other producers, because we have more PP&E already in that depletion charge. We've spent a lot of capital over the last 5 or 6 years that hasn't yet been depreciated. Whereas if you just started up your company yesterday, it's all future, right? You haven't got a lot of historical capital invested at historical costs, perhaps.
Got it.
So, you know, our depletion charge should be lower and will be lower this year than last year. And it will continue to drift downwards as we continue to add reserves at lower than our historic costs. But it's not quite as dramatic as it might be if we were completely just future reserves and it was all about the future costs having come down quite a lot relative to historic costs, because we do have a lot of actual that still has to be depleted off.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That's helpful. So
I can't give you the exact number because I'd have to go back and look at what we're projecting. But no, it's probably it's 5 cents or something off of per MCFE off of what we were probably carrying for 2016, and probably drops by, I would say, 5 cents a year every year for the next several till we get down into that sort of $1.25 to $1.50 range.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, I'll take that.
All right.
Guys.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, that's star, then one. I'm not showing any further questions in queue at this time.
All right. Well, it is a lot of information to digest. I appreciate that. We do a lot of work to slice and dice the reserve report to interpret it for shareholders. I know there's a lot of numbers there, but we're really trying to answer those big questions, questions that we as investors ourselves are asking of the asset base and of the performance of Peyto and its capital program over the years. At the outset, we say we want to evaluate the base reserves and see how they performed, and I think we can confidently say that our base assets and base reserves, the PDP reserves that were on production at the start of 2016, performed as we expected, and the independent engineers' commodity forecasts didn't change very much, so we didn't see a lot of value change on those base producing reserves going from 1 year to the next. I think we're quite confident that we created a lot of value with our capital program. Both the producing reserve value that we added and the undeveloped value that we added with new locations that we proved up over the year. So I think we can take away from that the confidence that we've earned the right to continue to invest our shareholders' capital going forward. We're going to create even more value with it in 2017. And arguably, we have even more profitable opportunities today to invest that capital into now as a result of our growing inventory. And I think we're going to have a growing amount of cash flow in order to fund that, as projected in our future reserves. You know, and lastly, I think the risks of recovering those future cash flows, which really factors into the values and the discount factors you might apply to future cash flows, are very low and continue to be very low as a result of the nature of our deep basin assets. And they're very low-risk nature. We've lowered those even further, I think, those risks, by embarking on some smart strategies with respect to hedging, transportation, service contracts, and those kind of things. So I think we've continued to keep our asset base and the risk of our asset base recovering future cash flows extremely low. And so we have a lot of confidence in the values that we're going to create there. 2017 right now looks like it's going to be another exciting year. We have even more activity planned than 2016, In fact, it'd probably be a record year from a drilling perspective. If we can get all the wells drilled we want to get drilled this year, and if we can improve upon the efficiencies of 2016, well, that's going to be a record as well, because already we're at some of the lowest costs and most efficient production additions that we've ever had. So we should be yielding even greater returns and greater profits for our shareholder if we're successful with the plan that we've got in place. So stay tuned. Our year-end is going to be out here in a couple of weeks, and then first quarter will be posted not long after that. So if you stay tuned to those, you can see how our year is going. And, of course, my monthly reports that are posted on our website are keeping everybody up to date as well with capital and production and hopefully some of the industry activity that's going on. For those that have noticed, we have a new website, by the way. It's a brand new look, and our website's more efficient too, so it kind of matches with the efficiency that we've gained throughout the last few years here at Peyto. Anyway, thanks for listening in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the program, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.